We're back on News Radio KMAN In Focus. I'm going to shift gears and a new segment here with Perry Wiggins, the executive director of the Governor's Military Council. Good morning to you, Mr. Wiggins.
Good morning, Brandon. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you on again. I know we missed you last month. I think you had something else come up, but it's nice when we get the opportunity to spend a half hour with you, so we'll always appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
What's been new with you? Have you done anything fun lately here?
Well, I went to a K-State football game, and then I have one this Saturday, so it's good to see the boys of fall back in the stadium and playing football. It kind of gives us a break from the current environment, and that's a pleasure.
No doubt about it. Yeah, we were just talking off air how exciting it is to see them back in, and especially after this last game and the potential going forward here, we may have a pretty good football team on our hands here.
Yeah, I congratulate Coach Kleeman and the team there. I mean, that was an excellent game, and they really took it to Oklahoma.
Absolutely. Well, kind of talking about what we have here on the agenda this morning, you're going to be talking to us here a little bit about the return of the 1st Infantry Division troops from the National Training Center. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of people probably didn't even recognize that the division headquarters, which is unique, deployed out to the National Training Center in California. And they conducted a training exercise out there, which also included the aviation brigade from the 1st Infantry Division as well. So they've been out there for 3 to 4 weeks and getting some quality training and increases their readiness for any future missions that they might have to prepare for. And so they're just now returning. You'll see there's probably some large jets people noticed that came into Manhattan Airport there. And that brought a bunch of the soldiers back. And, you know, you will not see them probably immediately in the communities because once they return, they go into a imposed quarantine that kind of makes sure that they don't, you know, have the COVID and that they don't spread it inadvertently to anybody. And once that's over, they'll be back out in the communities and the restaurants and the other areas that you normally see soldiers at from the 1st Infantry Division.
You know, I'm interested in learning a little bit about how training has changed here during the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's say someone just signed up to be in the Army and they got to go to basic training. What's different here now about, you know, from what it was before?
Well, I mean, when they report to Fort Benning, for example, they take all the mitigation measures necessary. They test them before they put them in the general population. And then once they're in their training regimen with their cohorts, they stay in a, almost like you see the NBA doing, the National Basketball Association. They create a bubble around those organizations. And the troops continue to train because we still have continued requirements, and the Army is responsible to fight and win the nation's wars when called upon, and that requires us to have those great Americans that continue to raise their right hand and defend this nation.
You know, it's tough being in quarantine. It's tough being in isolation, and I imagine, I don't know if the protocols are any different here, but if it goes beyond the 14 days or not, but yeah, that's tough enough just being a regular citizen. I imagine it's equally challenging for the soldiers.
Well, I think it's like, you know, if you look at the population we're talking about, the larger population, is similar to what you have at colleges. And those institutions, socialization is pretty important. So psychologically, I'm sure it's affecting the whole cross-section of our young people that are out there and used to engaging and being a part. You know, we talk football. They're used to Friday night football games and getting together with their friends. So it's the same with soldiers. They are very social. They want to be out there. They have a tight-knit team group of friends. And it's hard when you can't necessarily do all the things you used to doing with them. And you have to temper action with wisdom under the current environment because you don't want to unnecessarily pass on the virus to somebody.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, and we're glad to have them back here. Glad they're back safely, and hopefully we'll get to see them in the community here real soon, those soldiers who just returned. Interesting thing here that you put on the notes today, and I guess I had to do a little more research on this, but there's efforts going on right now here to land the SpaceCom headquarters, I guess it's right now in Colorado, and looking to relocate that at some point.
Well, they're looking for a permanent headquarters. That decision will be made early in 2021, somewhere around February. But initially, the Air Force and Space Command narrowed it down to four locations that they thought they were going to position their headquarters. And then the Secretary of Defense and the President brought that back in and said, we need to relook it. And so they opened it up from nominations to the states and to communities within those states to submit their packet for nomination for the home of future SpaceCom. And 26 states, or a number of states, issued their nomination packets, and the SpaceCom narrowed it down to areas within 26 states. So Kansas has two areas that are under consideration. That's Wichita, and that's Leavenworth, Kansas City, Kansas area.
What would be the benefits of having it here in Kansas, in your opinion?
Well, I think the one thing it does is it brings a major command to Kansas, a very military-friendly state. This is a unified command, so this is a four-star level command. That headquarters will have 1,400 personnel that work within it, similar to other unified commands. And those individuals are senior ranking, both at the government service level and as well as at the military level. So it increases, impacts your economy, brings a flux of people in, and then there are supporting organizations that work with SpaceCom that I think would be beneficial to the state of Kansas as well. You know, a lot of people think Kansas, they think ag, but, you know, Kansas has a great aerospace industry as well. And it's got a huge innovation, incubation process that goes on. One place of note could be down in Wichita, for example, and NIAR by Wichita State University operates.
Yeah, no doubt. If I'm thinking about those two locations, Wichita and the Kansas City area, Wichita would be obviously ranking higher, I would think, just because of the aviation-friendly area they have down there.
Yeah, well, we don't make that decision. We're agnostic at the state, of course. You know, we support all the communities that submitted their nominations. We just want to see something like that come to Kansas. Now, I've been approached, honestly, by a bunch of people that said, this is ridiculous to try to bring Space Command in here. I tell them that it's not ridiculous. When I drive down I-70, for example, you can't throw a dead cat without hitting a sign that says home to an astronaut X, Y, or Z as you go down that interstate. There's a bunch of young Kansans out there that believe in our saying, reach for the stars. And who's to say that there's not an opportunity for somebody from Manhattan, for example, to be an astronaut?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and obviously, you know, training soldiers here at Fort Riley, if you're looking for job opportunities to keep them in the state, I mean, there's a great one right there.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the thing that the military service member brings is not only his skills and experience, it also brings a security classification that a lot of these organizations are looking for. And so they're ready. They're a ready workforce. And, you know, I think Fort Riley, last time I took a look, along with Wichita and Leavenworth, McConnell and Fort Leavenworth, it's about 2,500 soldiers and airmen that separate or retire annually out of the state.
So just kind of looking ahead, how likely do you think it is that Kansas moves up on that list here for the relocation?
Well, I think just based on my knowledge base, it might be a long shot. But, you know, for me, it's not just prepping for Space Command. This process has enabled us to take a look and prepare for these nomination packages to really look future, and when there's other commands or other organizations that are looking to come up and out of a particular area and call Kansas home, we're prepared to submit our nominations and put our best foot forward.
Yeah, that's a good way to approach it here. Obviously, want to be aggressive and proactive here, not reactive to stuff like that. Help grow your economy any way you can. Again, we're speaking with General Perry Wiggins here from the Governor's Military Council. He's the Executive Director. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll have more with him after this on News Radio KMAN.